Amen. Thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to Nehemiah chapter number 7. Nehemiah chapter number 7. Well, there's only 73 verses, so it won't take long. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. Appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. We're going to look tonight at an attitude change that needs to happen here concerning the building in Jerusalem. And we will go through the entire chapter because most of it we've been through before in Ezra. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is conveyed here. God, thank you that you've given this account, how Nehemiah begins to encourage the people that there's the first thing to do is set in order the building of the interior of Jerusalem. But before that, he's preparing the people for something even more significant. And I pray that we would see these truths, that you'd give us understanding. God, give me clarity and the ability to communicate. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would empower me, give me unction to recall the things that have been studied, but more importantly, to convey exactly the truth that you desire conveyed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, when we read those first four verses, it took 52 days. It's been 52 days, and the wall is built. They've finished the wall. At this point, probably another 10 days, they put up the gates, and they begin to work with the drying of the gates so that they hang properly. And I mean, this is a lot of work in and of itself. It's going to take a couple of months for everything to set up and dry properly, and for it to be impregnable like it should be, instead of just falling off the hinges. And they're taking great pain to do that. But I mean, let's face it; it's been 52 days. They've done a lot of work in 52 days. I mean, this is a glory to God. It seems like it would be time to celebrate, right? It's time to celebrate. That's what it is. Okay, so the lesson that you and I are going to learn here tonight, in case I don't remember to say it at some point, is that when you're accomplishing the work of the Lord and you're moving forward and you get to a point where you think you should celebrate, that's the time to buckle down and to keep moving forward. There's really no time. You know when we'll celebrate? When we get to heaven. Nehemiah knows that there is plenty of work to do still in Jerusalem, and we see that in the first couple of verses. He sets up the doors, and then he sets up, and this is kind of gives us the setting for the entire chapter. He sets in place the Levites, the singers, and the people that are supposed to be in charge of worship of God. Because they're fast approaching, we will see, the seventh month, which is when they're supposed to be celebrating the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and all of those things. And so as they're approaching that, he wants to make sure that the people are ready for it. Now, the people still are concerned because although the wall is built, the interior of the city is not good. There's still plenty of rubble. It still has been destroyed. He appoints his brother Hanani, who we met in the first chapter, who came from Jerusalem back to where he was in the palace, and then they went back and together, and he chooses Hanani and Hananiah to be the rulers in Jerusalem. In other words, they're going to be, if you will, generals under him. He's the governor, and they're going to be taking care of some of the business of the city. Hanani will be in charge of protecting the city, and Hananiah will be in charge of preparing and working with the palace, which was also adjacent to the temple. So he was in charge of a large group of people there to prepare things for the seventh month. They were also noted here as good men. And I just stop here and say, he didn't choose Hanani because Hanani was his brother. He chose him because he was a man of God. That's what he says. So sometimes it's not bad for your family to work with you as long as they're on the same page you are when it comes to serving God. We do have, come on, we have a little bit of an aversion to that. I don't know. I don't want too many people working together in the church. I think it's good if a family can work together and they're living according to the Scripture. It's good because they've already passed a great hurdle, and that's communication. They know how to talk. And Hanani has no problem taking orders from Nehemiah. He's very happy to do it. In fact, we'll see a little bit later that he, not in this chapter, but we'll see a little bit later that he does his job, and he tries to keep things in order. And then he gives them direction to what they're supposed to do there in verse number 3. And it's not very difficult. You stand guard when the gates are open. When the gates are shut, you set up a watch on the wall. And as you're standing above it, make sure that people don't come in and people don't go out, because those gates should not be moved after they've been reset in the evening. So remember, their day is 6 to 6. So it's daylight, and then at 6 they close the gates, and the gates will set for the night, and there's a watch there. Now this is Nehemiah doing what he's always done. He's just setting up protection for the people. But then he says there in verse number 4 something that is significant to where we're going and why there needs to be an attitude change. It says there, the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. So for 100 years, as we've looked at this, as I've said several times, these people weren't living in lavish luxury. They were living in rubble. And they were content living in rubble. They would build their houses, their particular houses, but the city itself was not restored to the way that it was supposed to be. So there was no way to grow within the city, in the walls of the city. It still needed to be worked on. And so because of that, Nehemiah recognizes that there must be some work done in the people to begin to press them. Come on, it's been 52 days and we've worked like crazy fools day and night building the wall. Shouldn't we be celebrating, take a little bit of a rest now? No, that's the wrong attitude. Well, do we have to go right now, and should we really build right now? Yeah, we really need to keep going. Why? Because the enemies are still outside the gate, because we were sent here to restore this city, and the work is not entirely completed. We built the wall. That's stage one of the building. We still have several stages before we're finished. And so there's got to be an attitude change. There's got to be an encouragement of the people. And so it says in verse number, he says there in verse number 5, "And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein." And so he's now taking the genealogy that's in Ezra. You'll see that in the first part of this, that the people that are listed here are the people that came up with Zerubbabel and came up before Ezra even came. This is the list of the people and the number of the people that came up out of Jerusalem. And this list is broken down into 6 different groups of people that either were working, had worked, had been in the city and the family groups that had worked on the wall. And the reason it's important is because here's the very first thing that he's got, that he's the first thing that's got to change about their attitude is, and this is something that's very absent in the world today still, I believe, is that these people have to own that this is their city and their responsibility. Why? Because God sent them here to do this. So in the world today, and you may not understand when I say they have to own it. So in the world today, there is a culture that's been around. I mean, my parents trained me not to be in that this culture. And I'm not talking about just this culture in general, but this attitude culture is, and we trained our kids, and I hear my kids training their kids, and I've heard other people telling their kids, it's this. So I think this is the best. It just popped in my head because I just experienced it very recently. We're at Stephen and Megan's house. Henry, Sadie, and Lucy, and this has happened with Harrison, Harper, and Heidi very often. Heidi will always pick up. She's the one, she'll own it. She doesn't care. She just loves, she'll even play while she's picking up. But most kids are this. This is the general attitude of people. I didn't get it out. No, I didn't ask you if you got it out. I told you to pick it up. Do you understand? This is the attitude of these people. Well, we didn't wreck the city. That was Nebuchadnezzar, and he's dead. I mean, what are we supposed to do? It's the, how do you know that's their attitude, Brother Ron? Because it took them 100 years to build the wall. They are the people saying that, I didn't do this. Why are we here? It's time for them to own why they are there. You are here for a purpose. The purpose is to rebuild Jerusalem. God promised it would be done. He didn't say it was going to be perfect. He didn't say it was going to be restored back to its fine glory. That's all stuff that Jesus is going to do. But he did send these people back to do a job. That was the reason they were there. Nehemiah knew this. So he gathers the rulers, the people, and he gets the genealogy out, and he reads it. Now, if you know anything about the scripture, when people's names are read in front of other people, it is so that those people that are related to the people that their names are being read, in this case in the early part of the chapter, he's reading out the people that were called back, and then he's going to read the families that were supposed to be doing the work, who some of them didn't do the work. In fact, he says, we'll see that later on in the chapter. So the first group of people in verse number 7 are the leaders that came back. So these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity. This is what's written down. Of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city, who came with Zerubbabel. So these are the leaders. Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Rehemiah, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mespereth, Bigvai, and Neam, Baana. The number I say of the men of the people of Israel was this. So this, he's reading what was written down by Zerubbabel as they're writing down the names of the people. And if you cross references to Ezra 2, you'll see that these people are the people that went there. Nobody's added or taken away. So this first group of people are the family groups that were taken out of Babylon and came from Babylon and went to Jerusalem almost 100 years ago now to build the wall. Please listen, that Nehemiah and the people had just built in 52 days. The people that are there still have this lingering disconnect for why they're there. And I'm telling you today, in church today, there are more people that say, that's not, somebody else will do it. because that's not my deal. And the truth is, we all need to own witnessing. We need to own it. It is our responsibility. You can wait for other people to do it. Isn't it crazy? Sometimes we even get frustrated when people talk about witnessing to people. Why would you get frustrated? There's only one reason. You're not doing it. Why do they talk about it all the time? It is our number one job. Number one. If you think we were sent here to have a ladies' retreat, you are W-R-O-N-G wrong. But if you think the ladies' retreat is to produce souls to be saved so that they hear the gospel, you're right. If you think we're here to decorate bathrooms, that's not why we're here. We're not even here to feed the masses. Although we all like to eat, which is right. We have to own why we are here. And if you are saved, you could put your name in this list. So the list, the children of Parosh, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Era, 652. The children of Pahath Moab. Of the children of Jeshua and Joab, 2,818. The children of Elam, of 1,254. The children of Zatu, 845. The children of Zekai, 73. The children of Benunai, 648. The children of Bibai, 628. The children of Asgad, 2,322. The children of Adonai-Ekim, 607. The children of Bigvai, 2,307. The children of Aden, 655. The children of Ader of Hezekiah, 90. Isn't that interesting? Of Hezekiah, do you know Hezekiah was the king? These are king's children we're talking about here. The children of Hashem, 328. The children of Bezai, 324. The children of Harith, and 112, the children of Gibeon, 95, the men of Bethlehem and Netophah, and 108, the men of Anathoth, 128, the men of Beth Azamavith, 42, the men of Kirjath Jearim, Kephira, and Beeroth, 743, the men of Ramah and Geba, 621, the men of Michmash and 122, the men of Bethel and Ai, 123, the men of, and you go, why are you reading these? Because I'm telling you, all of these people were responsible for doing the job. You can put your name in there. If you're in this room, you can put your name in there. We own the job that we've been given. We should. But just like the children of Israel that are there 100 years, why are we here? I didn't make this mess. This was our father's. You'll see next in the next chapter, you will see why this is so important, why he read these names out loud. Because it caused them to stop and think, you know what, my parents were here. My parents are still here. I was born here in this time. And I have a responsibility. The children of the other Elam, 1,254. The children of Haram, 320. The children of Jericho, 345. The children of Lod, Hadad, and Ono, 721. The children of Sinea, 3,930. The priests, the children of Jediah, of the house of Jeshua, 973. So we're going now into the groups of the people that are coming from the villages. The children of Immer, 1,052. The children of Pasher, 1,247. The children of Haram, 1,017. The Levites. Now we go to the priests that are there, the ones who are supposed to be in charge of the temple and the worship of the temple, the Levites, the children of Jeshua and Kedmael, and of the children of Hodavah, 74, the singers, the children of Asaph, 148, the porters, the children of Shalom, the children of Ader, the children of Talmon, the children of Akab, the children of Hattita, the children of Shobai, and 138. The Nethinims, the children of Zihah, the children of Hashaphah. The Nethinims were the people who were the servants of the temple, the Gibeonites. I never knew who the Nethinims were. That's who they are. You see them there? They're the people who were supposed to live around the temple and serve in the temple. Water, wood, carrying things for the priest. It was their job. The children of Kiros, the children of Saya, the children of Paden, the children of Labana, the children of Hagabah, the children of Shalmiah, the children of Hanan, the children of Giddel, the children of Gehar, the children of Raiah, the children of Rezin, the children of Nekoda, the children of Gazim, the children of Uzzah, the children of Phaseah, the children of Bisai, the children of Meunim, the children of Nephishim, the children of Bakbuk, the children of Hakapha, the children of Harher, that's a great name, the children of Bazlet, the children of Mahida, the children of Harsha, the children of Barkos, the children of Sisera, the children of Tema, the children of Nezaiah, the children of Hatipha, the children of Solomon's servants, the children of Sotai, the children of Sophereth, the children of Perida, the children of Jaala, the children of Darkan, the children of Giddel. You go, Brother Ron, when I get to these chapters, I blow by all these names. They're listed here on purpose by God. If I went down the list of people who are members of Temple Baptist Church and said, you're here for a purpose, the children of Ron, the children of Jones, the children of Johnson, the children of, if I started going down the list, you would have one of two responses to it. You're either going to own it or you're going to hide from it. That's why he's doing this. He's not calling them out. He's not correcting them. He's telling them, you're all here on purpose. The Bible says that we were put in the body by on purpose. We have a responsibility. And our attitude needs to be changed. Their attitude had to be changed about why they were there. Verses 39 through 60 is the mention of the Levites. Verses 61 through 65. All the Nethinims. And these were they which went up also from Tel Mela, Tel Harisha, Cherub, Aden, Immer. But they could not show their father's house nor their seed, and whether they were of Israel, the children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekoda, 642. And of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those which were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha, this is all written down, said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. He reads all of that out so that they would understand that there is supposed to be a priest that stands up with Urim and Thummim. We're supposed to be moving to full worship at the temple. We have a job to rebuild Jerusalem, and it is not over until it's over. You need to catch that you were sent here on purpose, and whether you're the child of one of these people, that's why he says the family of, or whether you are a direct descendant from one of these people, no matter who you are, you're here on purpose with a purpose. And the purpose hasn't been fulfilled just because we have the wall built. It's not time to stop. Listen, Jesus is coming back soon. It's not time to start celebrating that he's coming back. We'll have plenty of time for that when he comes back. What we should be is busy doing the work that we're supposed to do. So the first group of people were in verse 7, verse 8 through 25, were the families and the clans that came and were present at the building of the wall. Verses 26 through 38 are the list of the villages that were represented during the reckoning. 39 through 60 are the Levites that are mentioned. 61 through 65 are the group of the temple servants that have really no proof that they are who they are. And they are not supposed to eat of the things of the temple until a high priest stands before the people. Verse number 66, the whole congregation together was 42,303 score. Now verse 67 says, beside their manservants, their maidservants, of whom there were 7,337. And they had 245 singing men and singing women, their horses, 736, their mules, 245, their camels, 435, 6,720 asses. Those are listed because those are the servants, the animals are all necessary. They were necessary to building the wall, and they're going to be necessary in rebuilding Jerusalem. They're trying to say, none of us are here by accident. The attitude, again, of the people was to sit and wait. I'm telling you, this is a very common you see it. All you have to do is go in most stores. I went into a Pizza Hut in El Reno, Oklahoma, which explains a lot. There were four people in the Pizza Hut that were supposed to be working. There was one lady that was probably, I don't know how old she was. I don't want to be, I just know this, that she wasn't happy about being there. She was hot. And she was kind of upset that I was there. And I had Henry, Sadie, and Lucy with me, and Megan was coming. They wanted pizza in El Reno. That was a big mistake. And so we go in. She's upset. The manager comes out of the back, and they start having a fight. And I'm the customer. I'm like, what is going on here? Is there another pizza place here? Another girl comes out of the back. She's 20-ish. I can't stress enough how, as a former manager watching them, I was shocked that there was no attention to the person that pays their salary. But I'm standing here telling you, it is not uncommon today. And it's not uncommon in church. It's not. If you're here, you have as much responsibility as I do to read your Bible. You have as much responsibility as I do to pray and to witness. You have as much responsibility to give. We're here for a purpose. It's not an accident. That's the purpose of reading all those names. To say, you're here on purpose. You're here on purpose. You're here on purpose. I thought about getting a role and reading people's names, and then I thought, no, somebody will get mad because I said their name in public. But what this did was this is a reckoning. That's exactly what he called it. We're reckoning the genealogy. And if you're here, you're responsible. And when we stand before Christ, just for us in this room, when we stand before Christ, you won't be able to blame whoever or say they were supposed to do it. That's why when we do something like a ladies' retreat, it is imperative that everybody's on the same page. You know what the page is? We are all just servants. That's it. We're not here to, we don't have kingdoms. We don't have authority. And we certainly don't have right to get mad at people serving with us. Why? They're not our servant. They're his. And the Bible expressly speaks against us judging someone else's servant. Well, I'm the only one who can do it. Believe it or not, you're probably not. I could be replaced like this. Brother Mark could come up here and just take over right now. You go, oh, I'm telling you. So, you know what that means? I'm here on purpose. My purpose is to work with these people to do one thing, what God sent us here to do. That's the reckoning. So then you go into this latter part here. Once the genealogy is reckoned, verses 70 through 73 are really the main. So all of that was introduction, and we're doing great. Awesome. And some of the chief of the fathers, do you see that word again? And some of the chief of the fathers gave unto the work. The Tirshatha gave, that's the governor, gave to the treasurer 1,000 drams of gold, 50 basins, 530 priest garments. This is what they're doing after the reckoning. Some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasurer of the work 20,000 drams of gold and 2,200 pound of silver. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams of gold and 2,000 pound of silver and 67 priest's garments. So the leaders of the population decide, you know what? We need to be getting ready for the next thing. We haven't got time to start celebrating because we need to move on to the next thing. And so, just as they did in Ezra, they gave an offering to prepare for the upcoming observation of the worship of God, like they haven't worshiped God in the 170 years from the time, the beginning of their captivity. What do you mean? They couldn't worship in Jerusalem because they had no way to worship in Jerusalem. They sacrificed, but they did not observe. They sacrificed, but they did not keep the Passover that was given to them as a memorial forever, because they weren't in Jerusalem, and that's the only place they could have it. So they're now seeing, wait, we're here for a reason, and the reason is we're supposed to be setting ourselves ready to worship God and honor Him and be the people that look like they belong to God instead of living in this rubble. Instead of being a reproach, it's time for us to begin to accept that we have to own this. It's like when you sin, it's your sin. It's not, you can't blame it on someone else. When you're given a responsibility, it's your responsibility to be a witness. Yes, everyone else should be, but you will never get away with, well, if so-and-so would have done it, I would have done it. Ever. Why? Because we're all given the responsibility. Our names are in the book. And when your name's in the book, it will be reckoned. There will be a reckoning. So they understand now that it's up to them, the people who have the money. This isn't a little bit of gold. This isn't a little bit of silver. This is a lot. It's estimated it's probably close to $40 billion in today's money. And they're giving it for one reason. It's time to get to work. So, verse 73 says, the priests and Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Finally, they get the message. You were sent there to inhabit the land again. And remember in Ezra, they divided it up. Remember, they went to their places, but they never came back to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was a junk heap. There was no reason to come back there. So they began to dwell with, when you read the previous chapters, we've gotten here by this pathway. When you read the previous chapters, many of them were living among the people of the land and not in their villages. Many of them were marrying the daughters of the land and not doing what God told them to do because Jerusalem was laying in a heap. And they had the attitude, hey, I didn't make the mess. I'm not cleaning it up. And God would say, I don't care if you made the mess. You're cleaning it up. And in fact, when a child says that, it's like now they have to do more. Why? Because they said, I didn't do it. I didn't get it out. I didn't ask you if you got it out. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. Well, it doesn't seem fair. That is not a word you can use in our house. It's illegal. There is no such thing as fair in the world. Nothing fair. There is a fair, state fair. That's. And some people are fair-skinned and fair complexion. But there's not, nothing's fair. Well, it's not, just doesn't seem fair. Isn't that the world that we live in? That means there needs to be an attitude change. And the attitude change, listen, if these young people grow up with the attitude that we have, where will Temple Baptist Church be? Will it be 100 years without a wall? Because that's what happened in Jerusalem. I'm thankful that we see here. All Nehemiah did was use what was written down to remind them, we have a job to do. And nobody gets to be exempt from the job. Everybody pulls their weight. And so the leaders said, yep, we agree. And he says, now we're ready to do the next thing. Chapter 8 is a glorious chapter. Because what they do should be what we desire to do every day because we have access to the throne of grace every moment of every day. I'm telling you, attitudes need to change about why we are here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please.